You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. At the intersection of popular culture and healthcare innovation lies a man the internet knows as ZDogg MD. Thanks to his forward-thinking ideas about what he calls healthcare 3.0, he's been featured in The Atlantic, Forbes, The Daily Beast, and at the TEDMed conference.
For nearly 10 years, a typical day in my life went something like this. It begins with a mad scramble from room to room, seeing complicated, sick, and scared patients and their families, followed by 3 hours of paperwork using an electronic medical record that's two keystrokes away from becoming sentient and destroying humanity, all the while answering phone calls from insurance companies, colleagues, and administrators, each asking that I do more and more with less and less while improving quality and patient satisfaction. And speaking of which, that patient for whom I refused Vicodin because I was convinced it was destroying his life just ripped me a new one on Yelp. And I get through my 31st voicemail, and I'm trying to delete it, and it won't delete, and I'm thinking I have to call IT now, and then I realize the reason it won't delete is that it's a live person I'm talking to. And it's my wife.
Thousands watch his daily online videos that talk about ways to fix the broken healthcare system and about why the current one so often leads to disenchantment, burnout, and worse among physicians. His online fans also flock to his viral parody music videos, like this adaptation of a Taylor Swift song in which he explores the opioid epidemic.
I was young, I was reckless. I took things way too far. Never thought I'd get addicted. Now I'm higher than a shooting star. Got a long list of ex-doctors. They'll tell you I'm insane. You've got a blank script, baby. And I've got some pain.
But while the internet knows him as ZDogg MD, his patients in Las Vegas and his family in Clovis call him Zubin Demania MD. The Clovis West High School graduate is one of the most talked about physicians in America today, and he joins us now on Valley Edition. Zubin, welcome.
What's up, Joe?
Great to have you on the program, and I want to talk about your local connections in a bit. But first, let's get right at the heart of the matter and what you call healthcare 3.0, whether you're doing a serious talk to academics or you're doing hip-hop music video on your site that goes viral and gets millions of views. You're talking about a different phase of the healthcare system and a different relationship between physicians and patients. How does it work in your concept, in brief?
You know, it all started with my father and watching him practice medicine in Clovis back in the 80s. He was a, you know, private practice primary care doctor. And what I saw was this beautiful relationship between doctor and patient. But what I also saw was not a lot of sort of evidence-based practice, not a lot of science. It was a lot of art and intuition. And also the doctor was always the boss. It was a very paternalistic kind of thing. And I'm not just saying that because he was my dad. It was actually that's how, you know, just listen to what the doctor says. And that's what I started thinking of as health 1.0. Then I went through medical school at UCSF and trained. And what I realized is we were entering a new world, something that I like to call health 2.0. Now, 2.0 said, well, you know, 1.0 isn't really working that well. It's really expensive. Patients are now empowered by the tools they can find on the internet. We have technology, electronic records, all this other stuff that could help us. Maybe that's how we ought to be practicing, and we ought to treat medicine more like an assembly line process, a sort of series of processes that we can optimize. Well, what ended up happening there is we saw some good, but we saw a lot more harm. Everybody, doctors and patients, were both being treated as commodities now. And everybody felt like they were a cog in this big broken machine, and we weren't really getting better, less expensive, more higher value care. So the idea for health 3.0 really comes from this idea that we ought to repersonalize medicine. At the heart of it, medicine's an analog relationship. It's not a digital thing. It's a human relationship that can be powered by technology and powered by sort of process improvement and science. But if we lose sight of the fact that it's a deep relationship, then we're gonna lose everything that makes medicine what it is. And so repersonalizing medicine, working in teams, empowering patients, but also holding them accountable to release the sort of victimhood of illness and to work in partnership with not just their doctors, but health coaches and nurses and social workers and administrators across the system, that's going to generate an engine that's actually rewards outcomes that actually matter to our patients and to society as a whole. And that's what we're kind of calling health 3.0.
So you were at Stanford, had a very, on the surface of things, successful career there. And you were disenchanted, though, by your experience there. And you had a very rare opportunity to start something from the ground up. Walk us through what that was like at Stanford and how you wound up in Las Vegas.
Yeah, so I was a hospital doctor at Stanford for a long time, almost 10 years. And what I saw was, I mean, it was a great tertiary care system. They took really good care of their patients. I had fantastic colleagues, unimpeachable. But the problem is what we're doing is patching people up and sending them back out to get sick again. We're not really preventing disease. We're not really looking holistically at what's going on. You know, if you're looking at, if it were like Winnie the Pooh, you're not looking at the whole 100-acre woods. You're just looking at Winnie the Pooh's diabetic toe problem. And you're patching it up and he's going to come right back because you're not asking what's going on with Piglet. Like, is there caregiver burnout? What's going on with Tigger? Is there substance abuse? You can't look at all that. And so I started getting deeply disenchanted and finding that, you know, I felt like I was on a treadmill. Not only that, but increasingly the sort of burden of health 2.0 was saying you got to see a lot more patients with a lot less time. And you spend most of your time clicking boxes in an electronic health record that isn't designed to take care of patients. It's designed as a glorified cash register and a compliance tool. And for all these reasons, I got very, very depressed. As a result, sort of a cry for help, I kind of reconnected with my roots. You know, when I grew up in Clovis, I played guitar. I loved to teach, to try to put myself at ease in a kind of a, you know, rural environment where I had a funny last name and I felt a little bit out of place. I learned to develop a sense of humor and kind of put people at ease and read people's minds. Nowadays, they call that empathy and all these kind of things. So I reconnected with that, started making these parody rap videos that would educate sort of Winnie the Pooh, so that he didn't need to come into the hospital, and raise the alarm among other healthcare providers that, you know what, we can do better. We can build Health 3.0. And I put him on YouTube thinking I was going to lose my job. And in a way, I did lose my job because it gave me an opportunity then. The videos blew up and they really resonated with people. And by living my own story, what happened is I got an opportunity to quit my job at Stanford, move to Las Vegas, start a clinic that operated on the principles of Health 3.0. And the nice thing was, moving to Vegas was easy because it was just about as hot as Fresno, and so I was used to it.
So you mentioned Turntable Health, the clinic in Las Vegas. Tony Hsieh, the founder of Zappos, brought you to Las Vegas to do something in healthcare, to found this clinic, and it had a very interesting model. You had a model a lot like a gym membership, where people pay a monthly membership to get access to primary care. It was very innovative, got a lot of national attention, but after 3 years, it closed down. Looking back on it, was it that you were too ambitious, that you bit off too much in trying to get to the next phase, the next, you know, the 3.0 iteration, or was it that the time wasn't just right for that disruption? Looking back at it now, how do you analyze it?
Yeah, you know, it's a combination of things. The main thing is that we proved that the model works. We showed incredible outcomes. We dropped admissions to the hospital. Our patients were incredibly happy. We had deep connections. We improved diabetes and smoking and hypertension and depression screening. But what the fundamental problem was is we're trying to be Health 3.0, in other words, deliver real outcomes that matter in a system that is still Health 1.0, 2.0, meaning it's paid based on volume. How many patients can you churn through? In the current system, you're paid to do things to people, not for people. And as a result, we couldn't find the financing to actually pay for the outcomes we were improving. We had an insurance company partner that did that for a while, Nevada Health Co-op. It was one of the experimental companies that started up under the Affordable Care Act, and it went out of business. When it went out of business, it took about 3,000 patients of ours with it, and that was sort of the final straw. So we were too early. We weren't caught up with the financing model for Health 3.0, but it turns out our partners, Iora Health, are now growing this model in multiple states, working with Medicare patients. So we know it works. We know it can be paid for. We were just a little too early.
So now you're back in a hospital in Las Vegas, in addition to doing all the public speaking that you do and the online videos and the music videos. What is that experience like now being back in a hospital a number of years after you left Stanford? Is it a different experience now? Have things changed, or is it just a different environment that leads to different results?
Oh, I mean, it's absolutely transformative for me because now I see the system from a really big picture view. So when I go in the hospital and I see our county patients who are struggling with all the social economic determinants of health, I really have a sense of compassion that was beaten out of me when I was struggling through a treadmill. And the beautiful thing is now we've started this movement, this Health 3.0 movement through the videos, through the public speaking stuff like you mentioned, but also through our show, which is a daily show on Facebook called Incident Report. And it reaches anywhere from 400,000 to a million people an episode in terms of reach, and in terms of views, 50,000 to a million views per episode per night live. It's a way of giving frontline healthcare providers and patients a voice to say, how are we going to build Health 3.0? Let's talk honestly about the issues that are driving change in healthcare and how we can make it better. For example, if you're talking about, is healthcare a right or a privilege? We have an episode about how we're not, that question doesn't even make sense. We need to think about what's a pragmatic way to deliver the best care to the most people. And let's be transpartisan about it and transpolitical about it. And let's really address it head on as caregivers and patients. So for me, it's now really transformed into a movement. And the work we did at Turntable to build this analog heart of medicine, to repersonalize it, make it team-driven, outcomes-driven, that's what's driving the movement. And there are hundreds of thousands of healthcare providers around the country who are on board and want this change to happen.
So where is that change going to come? Is it going to come from the physician level, the clinic level, the grassroots level, or is it, or should we expect it to come from the political centers in Washington or Sacramento in our case? How do you see others adopting this model?
I'll tell you this, it will never work if it comes from only one source. If it comes from top down, from politicians, it won't work. If it comes just from grassroots, it won't get a hold. So what has to happen is it has to have a grassroots support from clinicians on the front lines and patients who care about getting better and their health. And then we have to work with the politicians. And the great thing about this movement is it is not a Democratic or a Republican thing. It is a human thing, just like healthcare itself. And what I see is this groundswell of support for change. And whether that means some form of universal coverage that also includes accountability. In other words, patients are held accountable and providers are held accountable to provide incredible care. That combination of things where there's some skin in the game for everybody, that's what's going to transform our system. And it's going to take all of us. But the grassroots component is what I'm trying to lead. But we're also connecting with our politicians, with our business leaders, with our hospital administrators, and with our policymakers, because it's going to take all of us together to do this.
Now, you're familiar in part in some of the issues that face this part of California. The San Joaquin Valley has huge health disparities and even bigger challenges. We have a population where about 50% of residents in Valley counties are on Medi-Cal. We have a shortage of physicians, especially ones who serve that population in need. How would you go about, you know, offering suggestions on how to fix some of these problems here locally, especially given your views on healthcare 3.0? Is there anything that leaders here can do to try to adopt some of those things? Because I know you have fans here in this area. You came to speak to Fresno doctors last year. How could this area maybe try to get on that bandwagon?
Well, you know, and again, I'm in, like you say, I'm intimately familiar with the area, and my father still sees patients there. And I did a rotation at UCSF Fresno when I was a student in surgery and emergency medicine. And I've spoken for Sante Medical Group. That the environment you guys have in the Central Valley is indicative actually of a lot of California. It's a big struggle. And I would say what has to happen is you first have to look at the care models. If they aren't sort of team-based preventative care models that focus on keeping someone from developing diabetes, where everybody's skin is in the game and you're actually paid to prevent disease, that's what's going to actually economically drive improvement. Because right now, you know, at $3 trillion in our national economy, healthcare is a massive, you know, ball and chain around our ankles. It's hobbling the economy. And I can tell you this is true in the Central Valley, because when businesses have to pay such a huge amount just for health insurance, it means we're doing something wrong. So let's get the care model right. Let's focus on preventative measures, a sort of 3.0 collaborative team model. And then we can look to government and say, okay, how are we going to pay for this? We've actually made it more efficient. We've made it more cost effective. So now we can afford to cover our most vulnerable. And that includes Medi-Cal. It includes, you know, CHIP. All of those things can be consolidated. We can have a universal coverage that still has a huge private industry competitive focus where people compete to provide the best outcomes. This is already happening, Joe, in Medicare Advantage and these sort of plans where companies are actually competing to administer and do the best they can with Medicare dollars. So why can't we do that across the continuum of care? That would be a way to help the Valley really emerge as a leader actually in healthcare, because the doctors there, the healthcare institutions there, they are strong. I mean, they are great people, great institutions. They're poised to do this. It's just, we need that that catalyst and that push to make it happen.
The California State Senate just passed a bill that would institute a single payer system in California. The legislative analysts estimated it would cost around $400 billion. It's now before the assembly. And, you know, great questions remain about that. But from what you're telling me, is it that we should fix the way healthcare is delivered first before we institute something like that? Is that what you're saying? What are your thoughts on a single payer approach if it doesn't also address that relationship between physician and patient?
You nailed it. The problem with single payer is not that it's a horrible idea and that the government's going to destroy everything it touches, which are what, you know, opponents will say. It's that, what are you paying for? So if you just reform the payment, for example, Medicaid, Medi-Cal right now, you can walk into emergency department and use it as your primary care without a lot of penalty. That is the wrong way to incentivize payments, because it's the most expensive, most dangerous place to be if you have a cough or a cold. If we fix the care model, we focus on primary care prevention first as the base of the pyramid, instead of what we do now, Joe, which is we incentivize specialty care. People just jump in line right to the specialist, and it's an upside down pyramid. If we actually incentivize the care, then we can say, okay, let's pay for care that we know works, and let's make sure that people have a minimum level of coverage, and then let's incentivize outcomes that matter, which means private companies competing to actually prove they can do it better than anybody else. And then that way you don't have the government actually running the delivery of healthcare. They may finance part of it, but they're not actually on the ground messing with delivery, because anytime they do that, things get really screwed up, and we've seen that historically. So I think a universal coverage where the government steps in and says, okay, we're going to pay for the right stuff and the right models, that can help. Now, of course, you got to build those models in a grassroots way, or else it's never going to work.
So we've talked about healthcare 3.0, 1.0 being the system that your father had and physicians like him, 2.0 being where we're at now, and then 3.0 where you want to see things go. What about Zubin Damania 3.0? You had your first stint at Stanford, then Turntable in Las Vegas. Where do you see yourself going? What's the sort of thing you would like to tackle for your next project, aside from the media presence that you have?
I think the biggest approach is staying connected with patients through my clinical work at our county hospitals, and the show, Incident Report. It's so important, because what I find through the thousands of messages I get daily through Facebook is basically people feel like we don't have a voice in healthcare, and that includes patients and doctors and nurses and respiratory therapists and nutritionists, everybody working the front line. We intend to be that voice, and the core message that we're pushing is, let's build health 3.0. And all healthcare, like all politics, is local, which means you can take the principles and apply them locally in a way that actually works for you. So what works in you know, Clovis and Fresno and Madera and Modesto may not work in Las Vegas. And that's why we think a turntable type model shows some principles, but the way you implement it locally is what's going to make it work. So that's my mission now, is to evangelize the cause of health 3.0 and to actually work with government and with administrators to see how can we get a universal coverage system that doesn't destroy American medicine, but actually makes it stronger in a way that people are covered, but skin is still in the game. And it's kind of the best of both worlds, because you know what, Joe? We are the only country on earth that has an opportunity to get healthcare right. Everybody else, they either have socialized medicine or single payer. We have an opportunity to have a hybrid type system that promotes accountability and covers everyone. And that's my mission now, is to push that.
Zubin Damania is also known as Z-Dog MD. He is a physician based in Las Vegas, from the Fresno area, graduate of Clovis West High School. He's also one of the most talked about physicians in America today on his ZDogMD.com website. He hosts the Incident Report and also a number of other videos that have gone viral and received millions of views. He joins us today on Valley Public Radio. Zubin, thank you so much.
Joe, it's such an honor. Thank you.